Today, if I got a title, I'm going to call it One Church, One Family, One Future. We're celebrating 40 years of God's faithfulness. And we're so glad that a number of people that have been here before are able to come back and celebrate with us today. I got a text from Tony Cook, who was on that first pastoral staff. I got a text from Kent Booth, who was one of the youth leaders that Craig and Denise, that he influenced their life greatly. And then some of the other youth leaders and others were texting me this morning. My heart is so full. We sit here in Rhema Bible Church, RBC as we call it. You know, everything around here has got initial names. 40 years of the goodness of God. Grace and faithfulness. When I look across this congregation, I don't see faces. I see stories. Stories of lives that transform, marriages restored, callings discovered, faith strengthened. 1974, Rhema Bible Training College began with 58 students. Doug Jones was one of those. We had the mandate, go teach my people faith, given to my father in 1950 at a tent meeting. In 76, we moved out here to this place, well, to this property, 2 buildings and 6 acres on the corner over there. It was a step of obedience, but it was a step of faith. In February of 1985, up until the church started, I was over to school and I taught in the school, but I would travel and preach as an evangelist. As soon as school was out, I was on the road for 3 months. But we were February 1985. We were having a seminar at RBTC. Lester Summerall was the speaker. And it was a powerful seminar. And I'm going to share something that I personally have never shared publicly with anybody. I think Lynette has. I don't know in her meetings. But Brother Summerall, in the RMA down there, the only auditorium we had at that time, called me to the platform. And this is the prophecy. I see a light. I see something like a light that is covering the entire campus of Rhema here. And the dynamics and the movement and the direction of that great thrust of God will come out of this man that is on the platform. He'd call me up there. A powerful leader God is making, creating and forming and doing all the things that he needs to do for it. And he will walk in the light, and many shall come from many directions, and they shall be blessed. Not only his students, but others, and they shall be blessed at this place. The light of heaven like a dome over this campus. God wants to bless more and more. God wants to love it more and more. God wants to inspire more and more. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I hid these things in my heart. Anytime you get a personal type prophecy, don't try to make it come true. Just let it happen. And in June of 85, God began to deal with me about starting a church on the campus, and I didn't want to. But that calling became so strong that in June of that year, we were in South Africa in meetings, and Lynette has always been my number one cheerleader. But we went to the hotel, and she had never done this before. She said, "What is the matter with you? You can't even preach anymore." So I told her, I said, "Well, I'm fighting a battle. God dealing with me to start a church, and I don't want to." And she said, "I think we better obey God." So we came back from there on October the 20th, 1985. Ramah Bible Church began right here on the campus in RMA, that auditorium down there. A home for believers, a place where students could grow in community, where families could be grounded in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit would be there. That's how Rhema Bible Church was born. We were there in the RMAI from September 1989 until September 1989, and we needed more room. RMA wouldn't hold the crowd any longer. And I don't like two services because I cannot preach the same sermon twice in a row. Now, I can take the same text and use the same points, but it never comes out the same. So I don't like two services. In fact, I was ministering one time where they had three services, and after the second one, I told Annette, I said, "I can't preach that no more," and I changed messages for the third service. I didn't want to do two services, so we went over to the NRC, and we set it up every Saturday night and tore it down after service every Sunday night. Any of y'all here, raise your hand if you were here when you remember we used to do that. Thank you. You know, and we were there until February of 1992. On that, it was actually a cold Sunday morning because I remember had on top coats, and we marched from the NRC down the back road around to the front of this building and came in and filled these seats on the bottom row, left the curtains up closed because we didn't need it until later. And that was a powerful time. How many of you are still here that was here when we did the march? Let's see your hands. You can account. It was a powerful, powerful time. For 40 years, just look what God has done. We've seen, I don't know how many, maybe 1,000 or more come to the Lord, 1,000 maybe. Missionaries have gone out to I don't know how many nations. Young people have been raised up and are now leaders, not only in ministry but in other areas of life. Lawyers, doctors, political people. In fact, two of the people in the Oklahoma legislature our Rhema grads, the senator and a representative. Families have been brought together and strengthened. From that beginning to now a global influence, God has proven himself faithful again and again. But the same God that called us 40 years ago is the same God is calling us to go forward today. Amen. So we're going to go forward, one church, united in Christ. Amen. Matthew 16:18 in the NLT says, "Now I say to you, you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon the rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." You know, somebody said, "This is your church." It's not my church. It's not your church. Church was not a man's idea. It was God. It belongs to Christ. He builds it. He sustains it. He empowers it. And 40 years, we've watched him build a church of believers. People that believe in the integrity of the Word of God, the moving of the Spirit, and the reality of faith, that you and I see working every day as we follow him. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "The human body has many parts, but many parts make up one whole body. So it's with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles and some are slaves and some are free. We've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit." Now, we look different. We think differently. We worship differently. But it's the same Spirit in all of us. In Ephesians, in the Amplified, it says, "Make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace, each individual working together to make the whole successful." Now, when you start talking about unity, people have different ideas, but unity does not mean we're the same, that we all have the same job or the position. Now, right behind me are empty chairs now, but they were filled with musicians that made up an orchestra. We heard them playing. But you know what? Each one of them was playing a different instrument. Each instrument looked different. Each instrument sounded different. Each instrument was playing a different part. Yet the same song. And just as each one takes its place with their instrument, playing their part, it produces a very beautiful, melodious song. With each of us taking our place in the church with our talent, our times, our resources, together we cause the church to be in unity and strong in one Spirit, marching forward to bring about the vision that God has given for Rhema Bible Church. Secondly, we are one family rooted in love. You know, the world won't recognize Jesus by our sermons or what you say. They will recognize him by our love. Galatians 6:10. "Therefore, whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." And then go to Romans 12:10 in the Amplified Classic. "Love one another with brotherly affection," which can be and should be translated love, "as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another." Well, you know, families are not perfect, but families stick together. The church is called to be a spiritual family. not just an audience. That means we just don't attend, we belong. We forgive. We carry each other's burdens. We are patient with people who are growing. You know, so many times, Christians that have been Christians for a long time, like for 40 years, they become impatient with a new Christian that's just growing. And they forget that one time they were there and somebody had patience with them and would help them and would help them rather than say, well, bless God, if you just do this, do that, you know, with that's the wrong attitude. You need to have patience, say, now, hey, let me help you here. Let me show you how to stand and believe God. Come on now, that should have got some amens. And I heard one amen from Carlos right down here on the front. Thank you, Carlos. You know, family's not just who you sit beside here in church. It's who you stand with in battle. Church family means I'll always be there for you. In fact, just this past week, or maybe it's a couple weeks ago now, I knew of an individual that was dealing with some things, and I texted them, and they're a very close friend of mine. And I texted them, I told them I was praying for them. And then I said, I'm here for you. If you need anything, let me know. That's what a real church family member is. Church family means I'll always be there for you. Now I want you to get this one. Legacy is when one's generations. Legacy is it when one generation's ceiling, top as high as they can go, becomes the floor for the next generation. Y'all got that? Everyone here, as I look across, are from one generation or another. And so the generation that you are needs to, when you reach your ceiling, it should be the platform or the floor that the next generation grows on. Now, when you start thinking like that, you begin to look at what kind of ceiling are you going to leave for the next generation. Come on now. I guess we could talk more about that, but I think I'm supposed to go on. 3. Faith for one future. What's next? Isaiah 43:18. But forget all that. Now Isaiah's talking about what was preceding in before this verse. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. I see, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. And we just sang a song earlier. I see a new day coming. We can, for 40 years, it's been great. But we have to forget that, because it's nothing compared to the future. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians, he said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of high calling in Christ Jesus. He just didn't say, I'm going on. He said, I press. If you press, you're pushing against something. You're not lagging back. You know, if you have a team of horses, and a lot of y'all never been driven a team of horses, but I have. And we used to have a couple down at the ranch and pulled the wagon, and I'd got to drive them. And they would be there, and they were given to us, and they had their names. So their names were Jen and Jigger. That was their names. Now, and I'd look up there, and I'd see Jen is pulling, and Jigger's hanging back. You can see she's not pulling. I'd have to tap her and say, "Get up!" So she'd get up and she'd start pulling again. But she's lagging back. Paul wasn't lagging back. He said, I'm pressing. See, if they were going to pull that wagon, they had to put some effort to push it forward. How many understand what I'm saying? So we need to shout and praise God and thank God for the past 40 years. But we can't just sit here and enjoy. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. It's great. Hey, he said, I'm about to do something new. And we heard the song. The song says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Now that comes from the prophet when he prayed for the rain. And he told the old king, he said, you better get back to the house, because the rains are coming. I hear it. I hear the abundance of rain. Come on now. Let me tell you something. I hear the abundance of rain. He's doing a new thing. I believe it's already begun, because I see it in these young people over here, these kids that are in Bible school, and the kids here in our own church that from 18 to 25, if you get around them, if you watch them, you can see them. They are excited about God and the things of God. I've lived long enough to see that every revival that we have ever had, and I go back to the 40s when the healing revival started, from 47 to 58, and then the Jesus movement, and I had the privilege of preaching in a bunch of those Jesus movements, and then the full gospel businessmen. But let me tell you what, every one of those revivals was ignited and started by the young people. I can go back and remember when I was a teenager, and we would have a great move in our church. And you know who the leaders of it were? The young people. I was there. I was one of them. Yeah. Now, I started preaching. That's the first time I preached to the main service when I was 18. But when I was 14, we had a youth deal planned, and the speaker hadn't showed up when it's time to start. And they said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, go ahead and start. And they said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, if he don't get here, just give it to me. They said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to preach. Now, I didn't have no notes. I didn't even have the Bible with me. But I found one there in the youth, and I got up and I read Mark chapter 5. I heard my dad preach it. He had a sermon. He preached from Mark chapter 5. The lady with the issue of blood, say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. That was the 4 points. She said, if I can be healed, if I must touch his clothes, I'll be healed. She went out and did it. She received, and then she told it. So, but what I'm trying to say is, listen, there is a new thing rising. There is a new wave of revival that is coming. So don't sit there on the pew as an old head. Get up and get with it. That's right, Billy. I tell you what, it said in the song, it said, there's a new thing coming. He said right here, I'm about to do something new. See, it's already begun. Don't you see it? He goes on to say, he's talking to them, I'll make a path through the wilderness. He's saying, I'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He said, I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. Now you go back and see it over there, and at John it says, and rivers of living water will flow out of your belly. Or the river of power, the anointing of God on the inside will flow out. Oh, thank God for all of the shouting and all of the great things that have happened in this building since 92 and over in the other places. But let me tell you what, I believe there's a new day coming. There's a great word coming. There's a great anointing that's going to flow. It's going to flow like a river. And you can sit on the bank and say, whoa, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Or you can get up and you can walk into the river. But let me tell you what, the Word of God says, just don't go in ankle deep. Just don't go in knee deep. Just don't go in waist deep. Go all the way in. We are going to see that new day. You can sit down. I'm not finished. Let me tell you what. The first sentence of Psalms 121:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. Thank God for all of our cotton picking programs. Thank God for this and that and the other. But let me tell you what. Those programs are not going to build the house. It's going to be the God working with you and telling you what to do. Too many people are getting a program and praying, Lord, bless my program. No, you need to get God's program and you won't have to pray for the blessing. Hello now. Come on. Oh, I got a little preach on me there, didn't I? Gratitude honors the past, but faith builds the future. We don't need a new truth. We need to renew the passion for the truth we already have. Our future will be marked by a church that doesn't just gather on Sunday and Wednesday, but every day goes on mission. The mission to bring hope, help, and healing to a lost and dying world. Faith has built this church. Love has sustained it, but unity will carry it forward. I want to charge you with number one. Stay anchored in Jesus. Make His Word your daily bread. His Spirit your consistent guide. Number two, honor the past, but live for the future. Thank God for what was, but dream for what can be. Three, love across generations. Let the young and the old join hands and walk side by side. The old, we need their enthusiasm. The young, they need our experience and wisdom. But when you bring both of those together, you got something going on. Come on now. How many of you see that? Psalms 105 says, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." As he has been faithful to you in your generation, me in my generation, he will be faithful to them in their generation, and the generation after that, and the generation after that, until he comes and takes us out of here. Number four, serve faithfully. Now get this, don't be a spectator, be a participator. Every part of the body matters. We have read that. Each God has set in the, each one in the body, each body part, it's not the same. He said that the church is the same way. He said in the church, those to do what they need to do. Hello, just like the foot can't do what the mouth's doing, talking. But the mouth needs the food, foot. Now, I'm not doing this egotistically, but I'm an illustration. I'm up here, I'm a mouth. But I couldn't be up here doing what I'm doing without the ushers, without the musicians, without the sound people, without the people back there behind that screen right there in the room that's doing all the directing with these cameras and putting it out on the stream. You see, every part of the body matters. Some people say, well, I don't matter. Hey, it doesn't matter what you are doing if you are doing a part that makes the whole work. And the whole church needs everyone doing what they do. We saw on the announcements a while ago on the screen, there was two or three different people that made an announcement that was needed. Okay? How many are getting a hold of what I'm saying? Don't be a spectator. Be a participator. Number five, guard unity. Speak peace, show grace, and stay connected. Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. One glorious hope for the future. Thank God for the past 40 years, but we have a future in front of us. And that future hasn't been written yet, but we will write that future as we leave the ceiling for the next generation to move on with. And then it will be their responsibility. Hello? To give their generation after them a glorious hope for the future. Say it with me, a glorious hope for the future. That's what Rhema Bible Church has. And then number six, sow generously. What you build now will bless the generations to come. We're building the ceiling for the next generation. We cannot retire from our calling. We've got to refire with purpose, vigor, vim, and enthusiasm. When I say so generously, I'm not just talking about our finances, and we need those to keep the church going, but I'm talking about your talents, your time. Oh, didn't get as many amens there. We need to, I'm going to go back and go over these. Stay anchored in Jesus. Honor the past, live for the future. Love across the generations. Serve faithfully, don't be a spectator, but be a participator. Guard unity, speak peace. Sow generously. Everyone stand with me, please. Say this with me as a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the past 40 years. Your mercy, your miracles, and your mighty hand. You carried this church through every season. Shown yourself faithful time and time again. Today we celebrate the past, but we commit our hearts to the future. Unite us as one church, one family, and one future. Pour out your spirit afresh. Rekindle our passion for souls. For your word, for your presence. Let Rhema Bible Church be a city on the hill, a place of faith, a place of love, a place of revival for generations to come. And may everything we do bring glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now put your hands up and tell God you commit yourself to that prayer. You will be a part of a glorious future for your life and for this church. Father, thank you for all of your blessings. It's great what you have accomplished in the past through us all. But we look forward to the future in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I trust you got a hold of what I was trying to say to you today.